The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Mark Slater in the studio. Plenty of racing to look forward to on Tuesday with Brighton, Fakenham and Kempton in the afternoon. Catterick, Exeter and Fairy House are the three evening meetings, so six to look forward to in total. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good, good.
What we're going to do on this edition of the podcast is we'll look back at the big racing from the weekend in the Monday jury, and then we'll look ahead to some of Tuesday's action. Gary's picked out three races at Fakenham for us, so we'll move on to that in due course. But to start with, the Monday jury, it's obviously reflecting on the Guineas, looking ahead to the Derby and the Oaks pictures and anything else that could have been gleaned from this weekend. Starting with the first question, Gary, what did we learn from the 2000 Guineas?
Well, I personally learned why I like flat jump racing more than flat racing. But aside of that, what we learnt in terms of regards to the horses was I don't think there was any fluke in the result. I know that's mentioned a couple of times with a few of the answers that we've got in the Racing Post today. But I think there wasn't any fluke about the result at that trip. On that ground, I think the best three horses filled the first three places. Admittedly, Knight of Thunder did have a fair bit to find with Kingman if you went strictly on their Greenham run, but the extra distance has certainly helped Knight of Thunder, as it should have done just looking at his pedigree. I think what we learned from Australia was that he's not a miler, albeit I think his performance in the feat perhaps needs to be upgraded, I think, because he certainly didn't get the run of the race. He was pretty keen early on, and then on his side he's hit the front a fair way out, so I think his performance can be upgraded. I think Kingman, I don't think they would worry about dropping him down in trip. I certainly don't think he wants to go up in trip anyway. Let's put it that way. He's a miler and an out and out miler at best, but I don't think he would. I don't think it would be an issue for him if they dropped him down in trip. I certainly think he's got the speed to cope with that. Again, I think Knight of Thunder, the winner, is an out and out miler, and we'll get onto that a little bit more about that a little bit later on. So I'm not surprised to see he won't be going for the Derby. Obviously, Australia will now go for the Derby. So I think that's where we are with it. I think, like I say, I think the July Cup would easily be a race for Kingman. Also the Spanish horse, whose name escapes me.
Nuza Canarius.
That's the one, who towed the group over on the far side along for quite some time before probably not quite staying, or certainly not, has won over the distance, but doesn't probably stay the distance in this sort of grade. So, yeah, all in all, I think it was a pretty decent Guineas. I think it was certainly a lot stronger than the Phillies version.
Okay. With the turnaround in form between Kingman and Knight of Thunder, do you think the main factor was there? Do you think it was that Kingman was fitter on the day in the Greenham? Do you think it was the extra distance? Do you think it was the cut in the ground that he missed? What do you think is the reason for it? It's like a five-length swing, isn't it?
Yeah, possibly. I think Kingman would prefer a little bit more cut in the ground. Having said that, you know, he's not been beaten that far, has he? And I think Knight of Thunder definitely improved for that outing in the Greenham, and the extra distance has clearly helped him. So I think it's a combination of a few things, really. But with regards to Knight of Thunder's five-length swing, I think with regards to him, it's certainly more to do with the extra distance.
Okay. Let's move on to the second question, and that's surrounding the 1,000 Guineas. What should we take out of the Phillies Classic?
I think we have to take note of any time that Mr. Farber brings a horse over now to this country, because obviously the idea of him running Miss France in the, I think it was the Oso Sharp Stakes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At the back end of last year was to give her a sighter here. And I think we learnt, I mean, that the race then that she ran in, was it Sans Clue on her prep? I think it was Sans Clue or something like that. Anyway, the race really didn't really pan out for her. I think she struck the front plenty soon enough in this race as well. I think she was always just doing enough. I don't think, I don't think this was as strong as the 2,000 guineas. I think overall, I think the standard probably isn't quite as high, but that shouldn't take anything away from Miss France. It was a good performance, and I think it's always worth bearing in mind every time Andre Farber brings a horse over to this country, it's not coming for the good of its health. He comes because he thinks he can win these races, and he's got the horses to do so. As we saw yesterday with the race, or a couple of races previous to the Guineas, he won a Group 3 race with, can't remember the name, horse going with an E, but anyway. He uses his prep races as prep races. With regards to sort of later on in the year, with regards to sort of the arc and races like that, it's always worth giving horses the benefit of the doubt of one poor run, and that was the case. Albeit the race didn't put out with it, it still wasn't a great effort from her, but it was you've been utilised as a prep run. So that's her. I don't think we should be giving up on Rosina at this stage. Or Bracelet, more so Rosina, though, who Richard Hughes rode fairly confidently, but was a little bit too keen in the early stages for her own good. So that really did her chances no good. Lightning Thunder, the second horse, has run a good race, obviously. Obviously not beaten that far. But like I say, overall, I don't think it was a vintage renewal, let's put it that way. As I say, I think the 2,000 guineas form and overall quality of the race is stronger.
Okay. What did you make of Itty Mile? Finished third in the 1,000 guineas. Do you think she'll turn into an Oaks prospect?
Yeah, I think so, the way that she stayed on. But like I say, the fact that there was a 100-1 shot in fourth, Manderley, at Newmarket, it often pays to be ridden fairly promptly on quickish ground. It's not that easy to make up too much ground. It just holds the form down as a whole for me. And that's why, with regards to the Oaks, we'll get onto that in a second. Yep. I'd be looking elsewhere, albeit I would be looking at a horse that we saw run yesterday.
Okay, well, we'll move on to that question next then. Who are already on your Derby and Oaks shortlists on the eve of the trials?
Yeah, well, obviously, we've got the first lot of trials coming up this week at Chester and at Lingfield. It'll be interesting to see what we glean from those. But ahead of that, with regards to the Derby, I think Australia is certainly the horse to keep on the right side of. It was a good effort in the Guineas. I don't think the race really would pound to his strengths, but the extra distance is going to be right up his street. Be interesting to see if he does take in another race. I don't suppose he probably will. I would imagine he'll go straight there now. So with regards to him staying, we don't know 100% for sure, but just look at his breeding, he should do so. He will go onto the shortlist for the Derby, and I think there'll be a few more clues, obviously. I mean, He's pretty short, isn't he, at 7-4?
Yeah.
Of the others, I mean, Kingston Hill, this is the theory about forgiving a horse a bad run. Whether you could really say that he would go there as a real-life contender now, not so sure myself. And most of the others are the biggest prices, so we'll learn more over the coming weeks, but that's where I am with that race. I think Australia, that was a good effort in the Guineas, and If he can reproduce that, and I think the extra distance will be in his favour, I think he is the one to beat. But that's obviously very much reflected in the market.
It is, yeah, 7-4 favourite at the moment. Australia with the Oaks. Then we've already touched on Itty Mile a little bit there. You said that there's another one that ran on the same card. Are you talking about Tagruder?
Tagruder, who I thought was monstrously impressive in winning the Pretty Polly?
Yeah,
yeah. It was the race that Ouija Board won before she went on to win the Oaks. I'm pretty sure, and I'm sure there will have been others that have followed the same path. Beautifully bred. The extra distance won't be an issue for her. She's a Sadler's Wells mare, so the mile and a half will be right up her street. Interesting again, though, she is pretty short now. I'm sure we will see something come out from the woodwork during the next couple of weeks and be fairly impressive. I wouldn't give up on my Titania, who unfortunately missed the 1,000 guineas. Obviously, she's out of she's by Sea the Stars. So again, she's very well bred. The extra distance won't be an issue for her. Obviously, she scoped badly, I think, so missed the 1,000 guineas at the weekend. Tagruder, again, not really telling you anything you don't know just by looking at the market. Itty Mile, the extra distance will suit her. And she was very well backed ahead of the 1,000 guineas. So it'll be interesting to see how she performs around Epsom. But I think I'm going to stick with Tegruda for the Oaks, albeit I've just did the two favourites for the Derby and the Oaks. But on what we've seen and what I have seen, they both deserve to be in that position.
Yeah. Yeah, both of them by See the Stars, aren't they? Tegruda and my Titania.
My Titania, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right, let's move on to the next question then. Chester Cup. Who do you fancy in the Chester Cup?
I quite like Communicator of Andrew Boardings now that I've seen the draw. I think anything that Marwan Kukesh, I mean, he's only got the five in there.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad I'm not calling the race. But you have to factor in the draw. I mean, I would have said Brockwell if he was drawn a bit better, but he's drawn in 13.
Tricky from there.
Yeah, I mean, Communicator's drawn in 6, which is obviously going to be a big plus. Oisin Murphy takes the ride on him. He was third behind, what's the horse? The Shamish Durak horse, Litigant, who won the Stayers race at Lingfield on All-Weather Finals Day.
Yep.
Staying on in the closing stages, the distance won't be a problem. You're getting £3 off his back for £3's sake, so... he would be a tentative selection. Won't be a race I have a bet in them.
Okay. Which horses, perhaps away from the limelight, have caught your eye of late?
Hot Streak, who was third behind Soul Power in the Palace House Stakes. He's only a 3-year-old. Yeah. Last year, he showed good pace when he won the Corbin Wallace Stakes. He was second in the Middle Park as well. And for a 3-year-old at this stage in the season, the fact that he was allowed to take his chance in that group race against the older horses, I think just speaks of how highly that they rate this horse. As I say, he only just got collared late on. He really sort of set the race up for the two that went by him in the closing stages. But they're genuine Group 1 horses. Okay, they were giving Hot Streak a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But at this stage in the season, if there's any sort of 3-year-old only sort of group races at sprint distance, he would mop them up. So he was the horse that really did that did catch the eye.
Yeah.
And there've been one or two over jumps, but nothing really sort of major. I think we're sort of talking sort of long term projects, so we'll just stick with the flat. And Hot Streak would be the one, obviously, to Gruder as well, who won the Pretty Polly Stakes yesterday.
Yeah, great effort from Hot Streak, being a 3-year-old, like you say. Yeah.
Yeah.
See where you're coming from there. Richard Hughes or Ryan Moore for the title, and the final question this week's from the jury.
I'm just going to check the standings at the moment, but for me, it would be Ryan Moore. Obviously, he is a little way ahead already. Obviously, Richard Hughes had that little spell out, obviously, when he was recovering from his fall that he got in Maidan. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Richard Hannon bandwagon continues to roll on, but the fact that Ryan Moore's in front at the moment, barring injuries, for me, pound for pound, he probably is the best jockey in the world. So, hopefully, you know, if he stays in front, and, I mean, he's been riding doubles and trebles for fun. I mean, he is still selective, but I think the fact that he is selective means he's a lot fresher, and it means that you do see him ride a lot more doubles and trebles. So, hopefully that can continue. I think he would have won it a couple of years ago if he'd have stayed injury-free.
Yeah.
Or maybe even the last 2 years if he'd have stayed injury-free. Richard Hughes, no doubt, will go all out for it, which would be a concern if they're still fairly close come the end of the season. But if the gap between them is still similar come the end of Glorious Goodwood time, which is where Richard Hughes always says that's when the battle begins, I see no reason why Ryan Moore can't win the title.
Yeah, 4-5 for Ryan Moore. Richard Hughes, even money. We saw Richard Hughes overturn a big deficit last year, and I suppose the question with Ryan Moore is, hey, does he stay fit or does he get suspended? And the other thing is... if it comes down to the real battle at the end of the season, is he going to travel to all over the country like Richard Hughes will to win it?
Possibly, possibly not. But I'm not sure it'll actually get down to that. I don't think as long as Ryan Moore continues to boot the winners home.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be. I don't think Richard Hughes will go all out for it anyway. And he said, you know, I think the gap between them will just be still sufficient. Now, you obviously have to factor in there's all these overseas visits towards the end of the season. And Ryan Moore could be in America for the Breeders' Cup, which means he'd miss the last pretty much week of the season. But I still think that Ryan Moore will be in front, provided he gets a clear run with injuries. I think, you know, as I say, for me, he's the best flat jockey in the world.
Yeah, he's riding out of his skin at the moment as well, isn't he? Very much in form. Right, that's the Monday jury then for another week. We'll move on to Tuesday's racing in just a moment. Just a little bit of news to talk about as well. Kieran Fallon, he enjoyed another classic success over the weekend. He's he's having a bit of a renaissance in his career at the later stage.
Yeah, it's amazing to think he was talking about retiring when he was riding out in Dubai this year as well.
Yeah. He's now top jockey. Oh, well, joint top jockey for Godolphin.
Pretty much. And obviously they've gone for a guy with plenty of experience, and he's obviously done them plenty of good turns in Dubai this year on Prince Bishop, to name just one. He won round two and round three of the Almac Team Challenge on that horse. And they obviously stay loyal to jockeys that do them well. I mean, he's getting towards the latter stages of his career now, but as we saw with his winning the Guineas, you know, given the right ammunition, the man on top certainly wouldn't be an issue, so not a major surprise for me.
Okay. Any other news caught your eye, Gary, or should we just move on to Tuesday's race?
The fact that, they've ruled out Epsom, haven't they, for the 2,000 Guineas winner, Knight of Thunder. He's going to go to St James's Palace Stakes, which...
No surprise, really.
No surprise, it's the ideal race for him. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a huge shot that he's going down that route.
Okay. Right then, let's move on to Tuesday's racing. We're going to get Gary's thoughts on three of the races at Fakenham in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Gary's thoughts on Fakenham coming up now then. The first race that you have picked up, Gary, is the 2:30, and this is a Class 5 selling hurdle over 2 miles. What's made you pick this, Gary?
The fact that I think you can only give two a chance, and they would be the top two, Not Till Monday and Edlamon, both who have got previous course form here, albeit Not Till Monday has won over this course and distance, but further suits him. So the pick would be Edlamon for Bill Turner, who's got his horses in good form. This horse was third over a little bit further here last time out, only headed in the closing stages. Step down and trip is not an issue. He's won over 2 miles before. Quick ground to his liking as well. He's actually officially rated a few pounds higher than Not Till Monday, and he's going to be getting weight from him. So in a race where there were not many runners, he is a pretty much obvious pick for me in the opener, and he's one to put into your multiples, hopefully. And this is a fairly shortish price treble, but hopefully it'll be a winning treble.
Okay, Edlamon then the pick in the 2:30. The 4:30 is the next race that Gary's picked out. It's an open hunter's chase for the Turner Family Trophy, and it's over the extended 3 miles. For a minute, I thought I was going to have to call you Gareth Topham here. What's going on?
Well, again, we've got a race where not many can be given many chances. And the horse that I like in this race is Rocketeer, trained by Henry Daly. He's won his last two starts at Ludlow. He was a fairly decent horse under rules, albeit he's 11 now, but he's still a very classy 11-year-old. He's won three of his last four starts. As I say, those last two victories coming at Ludlow. He likes quick ground. The track won't be an issue for him. He's the best horse in the race. And again, he's just one of those ones that I think that looks very, very solid. There are no real negatives to him. The Daily Yard continues in good form. And again, I think he's just one of those horses that you can put into your rackers. I do like Little Legend. She really does live up to her name. She is tiny, but she is all guts and all heart. But this track isn't really, I don't think, going to play to her strengths, albeit she has won round here before, but that was just a small field. She won this race last year, but the race rather fell apart. So Rocketeer from the front won't be caught, and that'll be 2 out of 2 in the winning treble.
Okay, hopefully. So now you're hurling then. Yeah, he won easily, didn't he, last time as well, so should be more to come.
Gets on very well with Jane Williams as well.
Okay, right, on to the third race that you've picked out then. This is the 5 o'clock. We finish with a Class 4 mares handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, and keeping up the theme then in the short price treble, is it Queen Spud here for
it
you?
It would be Queen Spud, yeah. Again, weak mare's race, not many that can seriously be considered. Queen Spud is a likeable mare. I was quite impressed with how she won at Stratford actually last time out, which means that she handles tight tracks. Obviously Stratford's very tight, this is very tight as well. That was over 2 mile 3 furlongs, so 2 mile 4 round here won't be an issue. Richard Johnson's been booked, which is always a plus for me when he rides for the Daily Yard. He must have a very good strike rate when he rides for that stable. As I say, not many real obvious contenders. Handicap debut looks fair enough treated. Again, plenty of positives in a race where there aren't too many you can be seriously considering. So again, she will be favourite, but again, I think she'll win.
Okay. What's the main danger in there? Boar Quest, probably.
Yes, for, I mean Gary Moore's got another yard that's got his horses
in
pretty good form. Yeah, I mean some of these look pretty poorly treated and don't have that much improvement to come. I mean Beau Quest doesn't fall into that category. She probably falls into the Queen Spud category of not having had that many starts and looking pretty unexposed. But as I say, I was impressed with Queen Spud last time out. And I think, as I say, I think she will be a fairly shortish price, but I don't think she'll be beaten.
Okay, let's have a summary then. A short price treble for Tuesday. Let's say them one more time.
In all at Fakenham, in the 2:30 Edlamond, in the 4:30 Rocketeer, and in the 5 o'clock Queen Spud.
Very good. Thank you very much, Gary. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Pleasure.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. Gary will be in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Mark Slater. We have Brighton, Fakenham and Kempton in the afternoon, Catterick, Exeter and Fairy House in the evening. 6 meetings to go out, plenty to look forward to, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.